Testing, testing, hot outbound car, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Are you ready?
I'm all ready.
You on here? Come on, let's go inside and get started.
Dusty out in that hall.
Hey, get a load of butts over there.
Oh, would I like to you just once.
Dusty out in that hall.
What's my temperature, Norton?
111.
Oh, come on, let's get moving.
Isn't there any lard here?
Yeah, about 300 pounds.
A 20% percentage.
And now, who is our next guest, please?
Herb, here's our next guest.
Humma, 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 humma.
Ed Norton.
Ha, ha. What's this?
The Honeymooners Podcast, the only podcast that is all about the greatest show of all time, with the stars, Joe Conti and Louis Fats.
If they ever institute a Nut of the Month Club, I've got a very good idea who's going to be January and February.
All right, welcome, fellow raccoons and members of the Women's Auxiliary. Let me get as much of this stuff in before it goes completely off the rails.
He'll wear the bus driver outfit under, like a bathrobe or something.
God, Joe, it's just a continuation.
Ignore that.
It's just the conversation we were having, and now we just happen to hit record. So this is what podcast. We're doing. Yeah, welcome, fellow raccoons and members of the Women's Auxiliary. What's happening, all you Hurricanes, Bets, and Hairs, Bombers, and all you Mrs. Who Cares of the world. You're listening to the Honeymooners Podcast with me, Joe Conti, and my pal Louis Fats.
Oh,
you got something?
Yeah, I got something. Yeah,
okay.
Continuation of the other one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, go ahead.
What, boss? What then? Oh, never mind about that. Mr. Gordon has informed me that you are the best pool player in the bus company. I'd like you to help me.
That's it. That's where it
all is. All right, I have a request.
Okay. Of course you do.
I would like you to do that again.
Okay.
Can you just do that again with the same energy?
Sure.
In the same...
Do you notice when Louis speaks, his voice fills the room?
Now, can you...
Sure.
I've listened to 100 podcasts. I've been trying to find somebody.
Exactly. Like that.
No, but do that beginning again, because that was really good. What, boss? Sure. What? What is it again? What are the words?
What, boss? What, dent?
What, dent?
Oh, never mind about that. What, boss? What, dent?
The only podcast all about the greatest show of all time. We record.
Michael Bruce do it. Try it, Michael Bruce.
In the non-productive studio.
Say what, boss? What, dent?
What, boss? What, dent?
All right, Joe, I want yours.
What, boss? What, dent?
All right, this is the What, Boss, What, Dent podcast.
There's a title.
Joe, I was just going to say, we have a title already.
What, boss? What, dent?
We're coming at you live. All right,
thank you.
Pale Green Palace.
Episode 149 in the books for me, Joe Conti, and Louis Fats. We say we'll see you next time.
You poor Miss Raccoon.
Night all.
And we record in the non-productive studios at 328 Chauncey Street in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn, also known as
Cedar Knolls, New Jersey, in a cool, pale green house.
Subscribe to the show.
Cool, pale green
palace. Home base, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Honeymooners Podcast at AOL, haha, aren't they ancient, and Patreon. What's going on, fellas? And of course, it's me, Louis Fats.
Done anything on a Patreon yet?
Mike, yeah, we got a few people. They get the episode one day early. That's pretty much the only thing
one
you get.
Day
for,
at a time.
For $2.
It's worth it. It's worth it.
Yeah.
Worth every penny.
To get
worth
this gold?
Yeah.
An hour, a day
an hour,
early?
A day early? Right. Come on. Right. I don't even get it because I'm not a Patreon guy.
Of course you're not.
Wow. Not a Patreon guy.
You can't even, yeah, Patreon.
He's more of an higher stake guy. Yeah, yeah. But of course, it's me, Louis Fats.
Hi, Ron's
the
lawyer.
Great Michael
yeah, can
Bruce.
Can you look into this Patreon thing?
And
getting,
Ron Albanese. So if you guys already
yeah,
can't tell.
You're the same divorce lawyers I had.
Going to be a disaster. And
it's your fault.
Of course
all right?
It's my
we're
fault.
Waiting,
I'm married. Data, I know it's my fault. Data. All right.
I'm going to be Joe's fault
if I did something wrong. One of my favorite lines. One of my favorite lines. How could it be my fault if I did something wrong? It's just one of my favorite lines. And Michael Bruce's one of his favorite episodes.
Ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
Which may come up later on.
It might.
It might come up.
I have a feeling it's going to be a worry wart stage show. That's what I think this
is going
to be.
A little Christmas at the end. I want to talk about on stage because here's the thing. We talked about it last night.
We're talking about the whole layout and the size and
so
the
scope. So he went right by the whole raccoon
lodge.
Right into, yeah. No now, warming up like, in a bullpen or nothing.
I don't know. There was like baseball stadiums in New York, and then there's the raccoon lodge, apparently. Yes, of course. Size and scope.
Yes.
Okay, yep. Or a giant volcano. Yeah. I'm in the shower, if that's for me.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
I could have sworn I heard a phone. It was right in this room.
Aha!
Oh, the window's open.
The window's open. The window's
she's all
open.
Nervous at that.
Did you ring, Lou?
Audrey's showing another side of her acting talent there. A little different. A little different. You know.
I always questioned that window.
Yes.
Closing and then opening up a
bouncing
little bit.
Bouncing back up window.
Bouncing back up. Very odd.
I think that was an accident. I think
when I call attention with
I'm
the Tiral.
I'm with you, Joe.
You're hard the Tiralis?
Yes. Oh, I got it.
Attention, please.
Right, here.
And we were saying the size and scope of the place. Now, we missed a big, big hint, gentlemen, about a room they have with something I suggested in the last episode, the wraparound room in the almighty 147.
Oh, we're back on the wraparound room?
Well, yes.
I thought we passed that joke.
No, Joe. All right? Joe Conti, ladies and
I
gentlemen.
I thought when we got to 148, Joe, Uncle 147
I
was...
I thought we passed Fred Landing and the wraparound room a long time ago, but apparently we're not.
No.
Revisited.
Oh, shit. What was I saying? Yeah. The name of the episode, On Stage. There's a stage in Raccoon Lodge place.
Dope.
It's called On Stage. That means they have a stage. Oh, as far as I'm concerned, it's right. Canon. The title is canon. Why would they call it On Stage?
On Stage.
If they didn't have a stage.
Well, they're doing a play that you would do on a stage.
On stage with footlights.
All right, you're ruining the whole podcast by even... What are you doing? It's...
That tight blow and ruin this
well,
podcast.
Water is wet, after all.
An earthquake couldn't ruin this podcast.
No.
It's
so,
already
maybe
ruined.
Maybe they did have a stage.
Ruined. Two podcasts ruined.
Recchione Faversham said that something about footlights, okay?
Yes. Yep.
Now the episode is called On Stage.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There
so
you
there
go.
Is a stage.
There must be a
ipso
stage.
Facto.
It's in the wraparound.
Could be a stage.
It's in the wraparound room.
All right. It's in the wraparound room.
Right.
I was one of those cafeteria
I'm
going to
tell
stages.
You something, too. I was teaching at school. No, I wasn't. I was at school. And being I was taught. On the gym stage where they do plays and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about the Raccoon Lodge. And I'm like, wait a minute. There's two entranceways here at Lindbergh School in Palisades Park, New Jersey. So there really must be a wraparound room. I proved it to myself.
Yeah.
There you go.
Thank
one,
you.
One person believes it.
Yes. Yeah. It's right there.
I'm not going to be at Uncle Vinny's. I don't believe that.
Ron doesn't know this. I have a what's that sound that I want to do for this episode.
We saved
and we wanted to leave with the three of you. Yeah. So,
you want to do it, Joe?
This is a Tiral.
You want to start?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, all right,
sure,
cool.
Jump right in.
All right. Again, no I'm going hello, to stupid. Start by right. saying this. I think it's going to be very simple, but again, it's easy for me to say that.
Because you know you're not worthy
because,
of it.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Okay, here it is. All right, everybody get your what's... Oh, wait a minute.
Wine glasses up.
We have to... What am I doing? We have to get our...
I'm waiting to drink before I hear the sound. I'm going to time this outright.
Yes, I'm sorry. We have to do the intro for it, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we need the intro.
We need the intro. We have to hear...
Now we have an intro?
Of course. We have an intro for everything. Unfortunately, this one is not Dave Ingram, unfortunately. It's my dumb voice, but maybe I get him to do it. It's a good song.
It's great.
The Honeymooners podcast presents...
A strange sound. Foreign sound.
I love foreign sound.
What's that sound? Foreign sound.
It sounded like feeding time at the zoo.
It is a great intro.
It's great. This is good.
Swing. I mean, it's like
Shorty Robin.
The
Shorty
Robin.
Three little pigs.
I want a hot toddy.
All right, let me get to the actual...
We got to make hot toddies, dude. We got to have hot toddies.
Okay.
Yeah, we do.
Sure. Here we go.
Go. Hold on.
Here is the What's That Sound. Everybody out there in podcast land, get your...
Hold it! Wait a minute.
Here we go. Why is it not... Okay. Why is it doing that?
Because
it just has to. Here we go.
Oh, whoa.
That's Norton.
Oh.
Am I right?
What's that?
Is that Norton?
That is not Norton.
Really?
It's not Norton.
Norton right
Oh my
God. Play it again, Joe. Come on.
I know.
That's him smoking the cigar.
Nope.
No, it's not the cigar. I was thinking about
Ron,
that.
I'm Ron saying, goes down in flames.
Wow.
Two down. That leaves me.
Here we go.
Oh, is that when he's like bragging on himself? Like
the
he
maid.
Knows, he knows
maid
something.
At office.
Like, no. Ooh, we're all down. Three down.
It's like, what's my line? Okay, and flip all the cards.
And unfortunately, I'm going to say this.
Spiegel, Chicago 60619.
When you hear, you're going to be like, there's no way you shouldn't
like
know
so
this.
Obvious.
Yeah. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's so ridiculous because it's an iconic episode.
I say, let me have it.
Are you ready? You guys want to hear what it is?
I'll tell you what it is.
It ain't from Funny Money.
No.
Oh. Okay, go. Yeah, go.
Okay,
we'll here be we go. Laboring here.
And it just, for some reason, I have to download it, but here we go.
Which crime family was Bibbo in? Gambino?
I think Bonanno.
Yeah, I think it's Bonanno.
Bonanno guy.
Yeah, you're right.
He was hooked up with Joe Colombo.
Yeah. Is it before he goes to hit
Bibbo
the golf
family?
Ball?
I think he had his own family.
Was that?
Is it before he goes to hit the golf ball?
Yeah. Nope.
I Gee, said, boss. Get a load of facts out there. Want to make something out of it?
Oh, when he knocked... Oh, I certainly do. When he knocked him out.
Knocks him out.
There you go.
And then he looks over at Harvey.
Harvey.
And here he goes.
And let that
be. And let that be a lesson to you.
Is that great? Wow. Is that a good one?
Joe, that was
a
great one.
Way trickier than anyone would think because we think of him coughing as a flub.
Yes.
And that
or
is
thinking, like, yeah, or a cigar.
Or
he's always smoking. He does like that
or
line
hallway,
several times.
Yeah.
Something that would cause him to come.
Right. Yeah. But it's Bensonhurst Bomber.
Yeah.
It's Harvey. I mean, if there's one name that's not one of the main four that even people who aren't the biggest fans know. Harvey.
They know
that more than
they
Freddie Mahler.
The two Theory fans.
Not even everybody knows Harvey.
Everybody knows
and
Harvey.
Where's the other Harvey gentleman? Two's Theory?
Oh, there's no, no there's three. Three.
Harvey Jr.
Two or more.
No, there's no such thing.
Two or more.
No such thing.
Trixie's brother-in-law.
And then Harvey. And then Harvey Wallstetter.
Harvey Wallstetter and Junior.
So there's four.
Four?
Five.
No.
Four.
Four.
It's Harvey. Then Harvey Wallstetter, Jr., and then
Trixie's brother-in-law,
Harvey.
It's a landslide.
Wow. It's a landslide.
Well, that's got to be the most used name.
That's got to be.
As long as we're on the Harvey episode.
No, Freddie's the most used name.
Let me point out Ron Albanese's coat rack here. In the Harvey episode, the coat rack is on the left side. Completely exactly where it should be.
Okay. You're talking about in the pool hall.
I see you because you keep putting your hands up.
Or no, I'm sorry. That's the bomber is. The Harvey, the coat rack is... In front of
Harvey
the
coat rack is a character.
Harvey the coat rack.
Hi, I'm Harvey.
Yeah, hey, it's Harvey the coat rack.
He's a villain in a Hanna-Barbera cartoon.
He's a monster.
Harvey the coat rack.
He hangs you.
Yeah. He just steals people's coats.
So where is it now? We're talking about
in the Harvey episode. Okay. The coat rack is sitting weird in front of the
Harvey struck
coat
again.
And the pool cues
by the pool cue. All right, because in the other one, there's a phone booth.
Like the most aggravating thing.
When Bibbo comes in.
Yes.
Warning, there's a man in the air.
He's holding 1,800 coats.
We're having a good conversation. If you guys want to jump in.
There's a man named Harvey holding 1,800 coats.
What's the name of the episode with is that Trapped?
That's Trapped.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
in,
Trapped.
Okay, so in Trapped, the coat rack is where it should be.
Right.
Because it's the Harvey episode where it's right in front of the pool cues that you'd have to walk around.
Right,
you get a freaking pool cue.
That's what I love about Michael Bruce.
Some guy just
he takes something that's completely mundane and makes it so fascinating. It's so
because I never do that. No, Ron doesn't ever do that.
Because in Trap,
whole existence,
the phone booth is there, and the pool cues are on the other wall. We have to check
the setups are different.
When and you're talking about Entrapped.
Entrapped.
Because you need the phone booth.
You need the phone booth there.
The phone booth threw that whole set off kilter.
Yes, it did.
And it didn't match the set either.
My feng shui
was going off on that.
Feng shui.
But so did the prop guy standing on this? Quick, get the coat rack out there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's right in front of the pool cues.
Stop filming.
We need the coat rack.
We need to get the coat rack
out. We want this to look authentic.
I want to add to what you're saying. About coat racks in on stage, where we talk about the lodge having a coat rack for four coats max.
Yeah,
Hi, Max. In the end scene where Ralph is wearing
Grinch Christmas,
he's wearing a smoking jacket, which my mother pointed out to me at Thanksgiving. Yeah. We kept calling it a bathrobe.
Smoky jacket. It was a smoky jacket.
Yeah, and that's a good call because it they a were call. A thing.
You yeah, know? They were.
And but there's a coat rack to the right in Ralph's dressing room, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. And there's a coat rack affixed to the wall.
Oh, another one. What's
right.
With the hooks that come out and you hang.
Ergo,
meaning
ipso facto, I am suggesting to everyone, the gentlemen in this room and the listeners.
Gentlemen, who walked
everybody in East Orange.
Three Stooges line.
I'm suggesting that Ralph was getting changed in the Raccoon Lodge coat room.
Okay, there you go.
The most coat capacity you right. can have.
Ooh, that's good. That's good.
The most coat capacity.
Mueller, because he's the chairman of the entertainment right. committee.
Yes.
And he's a you-know-what. Okay, he's a bitch bastard.
Yes.
Yeah. He, okay, put Ralph in the coat room to denigrate him.
Okay.
I like it.
Thank you.
It's a good theory.
All right, this was episode 149. Thank you, everybody.
Yes, and we'll see you next time.
Night all.
Oh, we're also going to do a, you could say that again, from one of the posts. You know,
oh, okay.
And we haven't really done that yet, right. But I have one.
Okay, cool.
And I also have something
have
that I need.
Sound?
To, what's that?
Do you have another sound?
Not on here, no. I don't.
Oh, I thought that was it. You had one.
Joe, that sound.
That's one sound per show.
What? We should have guessed that sound. One of us should have had that. Should
one
have
of us
that.
Should have had
little,
that.
I'm a little disappointed in us.
I am disappointed.
Well, that one, I don't want to say you guys.
I always say that.
Me and Rock are blaming on the wine. Michael's not drinking.
You know, how about an on stage?
I knew all along it was the Harvey episode.
Dude, let me just get this over. An on stage, okay, there's a big disparity in the number of pages between Ralph, Alice's, and Ed's scripts.
Oh, and he keeps on flipping.
Yes, and he flips way too much. Like there's one word per page.
Yeah, yeah, and he's flipping.
He's flipping.
All right,
I flip page, went to the store.
Okay, it's like, I got the thought in my head, I want to lose
go
it.
Go for it.
He says, right, when they gave him, they said that looking for a fresh new face, and he thinks he's found that.
Yes.
And Alice. She's just as bad as he is reading the lines. Alice is awful.
Right, exactly. Which goes to what we were saying, how
right?
they get to play actors who are bad actors.
Because he's doing Rachel.
Right.
And because Norton comes in like a steamroller.
Oh, God.
His energy. Oh, I don't have a... High speed. Where are you going, dude?
But Alice,
where are you going?
But when Alice is reading her lines, she's like awful herself. No. Like, what the heck?
Hey, let me tell you something. Norton's acting was so good, it inspired a play 7 years later called Hamilton. I don't know if you guys know that. Yes.
Direct Norton influence. So Norton's got a lot of pages.
Yes.
On the script. But for such a giant play that none of them have a lot of pages.
No.
The scripts are like two, three sheets. That's it. That's the entire play. Even double-sided, which I don't think
they
existed back then.
Because he was flipping them.
You couldn't mimeograph.
No,
you
couldn't mimeograph double-sided back
okay?
then. No.
You could not do that.
Do you remember the mimeograph? You used to smell it when we...
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you kidding?
The hot purple ink.
The hot purple ink.
The dots on the holes on the side of the paper when you feed it through to...
Yeah.
Well, that's a Scantron.
That was, yes.
Scantrons, okay. Yep. I'd make the KISS logo.
Yeah.
That's how I filled in the dots on those tests. KISS.
Trivia question.
Uh-oh.
Trivia question.
Okay.
His coat rack inspired this trivia question.
Okay.
So, because you're talking about the lodge. Of the 39, what is the longest lodge scene? When I was looking for something else, I discovered this.
Okay. Okay. Now, so we have the
Start to finish. What's the longest lodge scene?
Do we disqualify what we talked about for on stage being 10 minutes?
No,
because on stage,
I'm asking a general question. What is the longest lodge scene?
Okay,
period.
In 147, everyone breaking download records as we speak. The beginning scene is like 9 minutes. 9 minutes and 53 seconds or something like that.
It's a long one.
I think it's the fishing trip.
Yeah.
Because they're in there for a while and he's doing the speech. Is that it?
How about
it?
Ping pong filler?
See, that's
a lot
the bachelor
filler,
party.
Man. That ping
the
pong.
Bachelor party too.
Ping pong filler is the fishing trip.
Yeah, the ping pong is such filler.
That's like, a long that's
ladies
like,
and gentlemen, Joe end. Conti nailed it.
Is that
nailed
it?
That is the long.
How long?
11 minutes, 11 seconds.
Are you serious?
Wow. Yep. So long.
Wow. So this show,
11 minutes,
the
11 seconds.
The ping pong scene. The ping pong scene puts that over.
Yes, because the ping pong scene, like Ron says, it's filler. It's a great gag.
Yes.
Funny.
It's all filler.
But it just, the lead up to, it's to give them something before you get into the crux of the show.
Yeah.
Because the ping pong has nothing to do with the fishing trip.
Yeah. Nothing.
But it's a great
It's a great funny bit.
It's a great fun four-minute bit or whatever it is.
Yeah,
that's a great question, that's dude. That's a total Michael Bruce question.
No, definitely.
Because that makes you think he's a sociopath because he doesn't have any time that he could spend with his wife.
No, but he was...
Your wife!
No, and what Ron was in 147 talking about how long that scene is.
Yeah.
And I thought, is this the longest one? So I started sniffing around.
Right.
And then when I came across, I go, oh my God.
How long was the bachelor scene one? The bachelor party's long.
Well, that's the other thing, too.
That's around, I would say, half.
You got the dais scene. When they're on the dais.
Right, and then they come around.
You have a few of them.
The three of them come around, and they're talking for a while. Stanley, Ralph,
on
and
stage,
Ed.
Until they start
on
to drink.
On stage is, I think, like around 10:40 or something
right,
like that.
Because we've got to figure out. We don't associate that with the lodge.
Because it's almost like it's not the lodge, but it is the lodge.
We don't associate with that meeting look, like with the chairs out and Mr. President flubbing a line. Like Cliff Hall blowing.
Right, right. Trying to figure out what applicant means.
You got a few in like this.
That's the thing, too. When you start talking about these scenes and not just pure length, but we ended up dovetailing in 147 about how many characters were there. Because you know what, like Ralph and Norton, okay, ping pong is filler galore, but it's just Ralph and Norton. It's just Carney and Gleason. They just said, are you guys going to play ping pong a lot? We didn't realize the script runs a little short.
Yeah.
So play ping pong. All right, we'll be Laurel and Hardy.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing.
That's
it's not invital to the script or anything.
And
what happens too. But that's why I love Stanley Saxon is an ensemble piece, like I said in 147. But seriously,
perfect cast.
You get a million people.
Now that he mentioned it, before we were in the first episode when he wasn't here.
You mean way, way,
way
back?
Way back.
Never here.
8 hours ago?
Yeah. We were talking about the lost episodes.
Right.
I caught a lost episodes of them playing ping pong. But Ralph and Ed are playing doubles. And Ralph and Ed are on the they're on the same team.
Right.
Wow.
And you see they're playing, and at the end they come walks out. It's Sammy Birch. Oh, I want to say, I don't know if it's Freddie Muller and Sammy Birch.
Sammy Birch was the guy who was cutting the hair, right?
Like, Harry from the pool.
Oh, yeah,
that's
Harry from the pool.
That's Sammy Birch.
Okay.
And Nestor Keystone was the other guy?
Yeah, yes, guy. They're in that room. They're in that room that we don't see, the wraparound room.
Okay, right.
You know that one, Joe, that wraps around the
lodge? Yeah.
That one. And you see Ralph and Ed coming out to play a ball. And they're coming out and they're arguing, going, when I say I got it. And of course, he's like, God, and the ball falls down. And then you see the other two guys walk out.
Okay.
Wow. So there is a ping pong scene in the lost episode.
Wow.
Was it quick?
Yeah, it's kind of quick.
Okay, so it wasn't like a big sketch of them two kind of playing off each other.
No, just kind of like this one, like the one in the 39.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is cool. But that's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
So, another recycled scene.
While we're on this ping pong scene that does not deserve this much coverage. I mean, that one does, but how are their skills as ping pong players? Are they good?
Norton's got to be good. He's good at everything. He probably never played ping pong in his life, and he picked up and he just started playing.
But he's good as a character, but I mean in real life, can you tell that they both can play ping pong? Because I forget. I haven't seen it in so long.
I don't think so.
I don't think you can tell.
No. I don't think so.
I think Carney really, can hold his own against regular Joes. Yeah.
But from what you see?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Dude, the athletic movement.
Yeah.
Totally. Okay.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Because they really don't volley.
Right. Yep.
They never do a real volley.
Even the way he's moving the paddle around, he probably plays. I mean, Gleason, no, he's too busy up some dance hall.
Again, at Toot Shores. He's at Toot Shores.
This is a good one in my findings.
Yeah, okay.
Ron will like this because he loves stuff like this. How many times physically do you see a newspaper in the 39?
Oh, my God. Let's see.
That's a good Ron thing, right? You love stuff
Boss
like that.
Boss of the house.
Okay. You have him when he's reading and it's roads to the highways to Tibet.
Orphan Annie.
Two.
Orphan Annie.
That's right, because he doesn't want to. And Norton
and
brings
to
it
Tibet
in.
Is
right.
When the paper's possessed by a demon and it's falling on its own in the background.
Yes.
And there was the Buick thing
Buick,
on the back.
The Buick, right. Buick advertising.
So that's two. Then.
One looks like a newspaper, but it's actually American Weekly.
And in taxes, he's reading a tax guide.
Oh, and the other reading one when...
No, it's not the tax guide. I didn't count the tax guide or American Weekly.
When Ralph is interviewed.
Somebody reading a newspaper in a bus depot?
The
Michael Bruce?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. There you go.
Yes.
Where? In the golfer? Downstairs? In the locker room?
I think so.
No, that's Joe Fensterblau.
Joe Fensterblau.
That's Joe Fensterblau.
They're reading a paper lumped it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
She lumped it.
Ralph's reading the paper. I thought you went shopping Saturday afternoon. I thought you
Alice
went shopping
and with Trixie.
Chicken.
Right.
Yeah. Sale on underwear.
A sale on underwear. There you go.
That's
all
right.
Sizes, 32 to 50. Yeah.
Nothing there for Ralph.
the interview for the paper head of the house comes in.
Bingo.
Here's Ralph's picture.
Bingo. Five or six.
That was Orphanini.
Yeah.
Yes, that's why
he didn't bring the paper home.
That's right, because he said they cut out Orphanini. I don't like their editorial policy. What a great line. I don't like their editorial policy.
Well, I'm going to give you two that you're not going to get, but
okay.
Like I said, physically on screen in a newspaper.
Your hand is coming too close.
He was touching me earlier. It's like
this, like this.
I can't because you weren't here the last time, so
I had plenty of room. Hold your hand down.
I had plenty of room. There's a couple different times. Let me give you
an exploding bag of
twice,
popcorn.
Yes, I guess it's Tuesday's theory, but twice. Norton has it in the pocket of his coat.
Oh yes,
but he never takes it out.
Nope. It's just there.
This is strange. That's a young man with a horn. Right? That's when they go for the jobs, right?
It's rolled up.
That's one.
Well, that's a civil service paper.
The civil service paper, right?
It counts as a newspaper. The other one,
he has it in his coat pocket, and they're out in front of the bus company.
Oh.
I can't remember which episode they're in front of.
Is that the one
off the top of my head? But he has it in his coat when he walks up onto the scene.
Wow. So that's what, five?
What's that?
How many?
Newspapers.
Oh, no, you're way past that now. Yeah, but... The total number is actually 13.
Is it really
13 times newspapers physically? Yeah,
That's crazy.
Now, which episode has the most? There's one. Some of them have it once where you see it.
Some
of them have newspapers twice in two different scenes.
Because that's the thing. Are they reading them? Are they props? There's a lot more than you think.
That's what I mean.
Yeah,
so great. Between the most of it is well, yeah. Actually, it's
is
like,
there one episode
really
that has the
half.
Most?
Half of them are like reading, and half of them are props. They're just there.
They're there.
Okay,
or they don't make reference to them, but they're there. Or like you said, you see the one guy reading it or whatever. But yeah, so but there's a total of 13.
13?
But what episode has the most?
How many is in the one episode?
Incredible.
How many
like how, yeah, how many right? Which episode has the record for the most newspapers?
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm saying for that episode,
there's three,
three,
three. Yep.
Okay, and that's the most. So the other ones are either ones or twos.
Exactly.
So this one has three.
I'm going to stay with Joe Fensterblau.
Yes, that's correct, and it makes perfect sense.
Yes, it does
because they're referring to the paper
about that
the whole
newspaper.
Time.
Yes,
exactly.
It's all about that newspaper.
Oh, because basically, head of the house. Is it head of the house?
It's a newspaper-centered episode.
That's true.
Because
sponsored
by
the
New York Times.
People don't even know what hell
right,
newspaper.
Newspaper. What is this?
Yep.
How many times did TikTok appear in Kevin James'
skate key? Yeah. It's a skate key.
Yeah.
That's great, man. So three times.
It makes sense.
It
does make sense. Even that, we forget that last episode when that lumped it. We said before yeah.
right.
lumped it. Just read
is that
the
your
paper.
List right there?
And it's basically based on a newspaper.
Yeah.
The interview.
It's totally based on the actual newspaper.
It's so funny, all these things that I came across looking for other things.
That's how you...
Here's
that's
a two theory.
Oh,
here's
stuff.
A two's theory. Two's theory. There's two episodes.
You don't say.
There's two, Ron.
Was that a game show?
It's hard to believe, but yeah.
You don't say?
There's
a game show.
Yeah, like there's that. Two yeah. episodes where there's two scenes in a row, no apartment.
Oh.
Two scenes in a row,
no apartment.
I'm going to say... All right,
two
I'm going to say...
I was like, whoa.
I thought
there was one at first. I was like, wow.
I'm going to jump in.
Jump in.
I'm going to jump
in.
Mine's wrong.
Mine's wrong.
Hospital. Norton in a hospital?
No, because they go from the apartment to the hospital.
But after that, don't they end up at the lodge?
No.
Is that confusing the episode? Is that the Halloween
episode? No, because that's...
No, because he goes and gets the
Palomine.
Transfusion.
That's Palomine.
Yeah,
and
it ends up with him going there.
Ends in the hospital.
In the hospital. The transfusion.
Yes. The transfusion. Yes.
Transfusion.
Nope. Oh,
okay. I always thought there was one, but there's
one.
Two.
This is a good one. Oh,
yeah.
This is really good, Michael Bruce. Thank God for your notes here.
I
couldn't remember it all. I have to have notes.
Is it the one episode that has five? Because there's one episode that has
five
scenes in it, five different sets.
Which
I'm going to gather that would probably be one of them, right?
Let me think. That one would be one.
And which one is that, two, for the listeners, guys?
Three.
And Ron Albanese.
I always
no,
think.
I don't think so, Joe.
No?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Nope. Think about
wow.
it.
How about...
think about it. They go from... They're not in the apartment.
You got
it,
think. Right.
And then they jump to... And then the next scene, they're is not still in the apartment. Which, of course, which of course made me go...
How about something fishy?
How... No.
No. I'm thinking at the end when they wind up in the car right, downstairs. Let's
really right.
Yeah, but, yeah
did
but...
Did that go from the...
It went from...
Oh, okay, one of them is a safety
to
award.
The apartment.
That's the longest amount of time outside of the apartment. Is oh, that, yes. Is okay. in that
safety
car.
Award wait, is one of them. Court. Yes.
McKelly
because
Group,
you go from the
yeah,
front house...
Safety award is one.
...to,
sure.
to the mayor's office. Right. That's one.
That's absolutely one.
Safety
and
award.
And absolutely. I said absolutely.
Nice catch. That means
that's
three.
That's Ronnie.
Wow.
So I'm three. The one who said it. What are you looking at him for? I'm the one that gave it to you. If you don't mind,
you know what's funny, Ron? I hate to say it, Michael. I thought I had I thought I had a good head on my shoulders until I found out it was Ron's.
That's Joe Conti, everybody.
Let me. So the two episodes that I thought there was only two. You're right. There's three. But these
two, or
two
more.
Right, two or more. There you go.
No, it's two or more.
They're in the latter. Yeah. One is it's in the 30s.
I'm gonna have an S.
Both of them are in the 30s.
Both of them are in the 30s.
Yeah, both of them are in the 30s.
Okay,
yeah.
So we have Dial J.
See, but Dial J is almost all in the apartment
outside of downstairs,
which is ironic,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
He's, you
yeah,
janitor think, of the entire yeah, building,
and it's always
we
in the
had
apartment.
Seen so many different apartments, maybe.
Yeah,
oh, it'd been great.
Could you imagine if we saw yes. another? Oh,
yeah,
man.
It
how
been great.
About?
Why didn't we ever see the hallway?
I would have loved
seeing
Ralph
garbage.
Like work on stuff.
I would have loved to
right.
watch him work for yeah, three yeah. hours in the sink and find out it was a bathroom
sink there, where Mrs. Monicotti's dishes and trying to work.
He's like, oh, all right. And he hangs up.
How about, let's see.
First of all, think of, both of these episodes.
How's the one with Bill Davis episode?
Bingo.
There you go.
You got one.
Bill Davis.
All right, okay.
Colony they start out Madison Square right. Garden.
Madison Square Garden.
No. It's two scenes out of the apartment in a row where they're out of the apartment in a row.
Rough.
So
they go from
Madison Square Garden.
Madison Square Garden.
To the office.
Right.
That's the two.
That's it. Okay.
So two scenes in a row. No apartment.
They go from Madison Square Garden to the front of the
right. They smell good.
The bus depot. He doesn't go. They don't go home first.
There's in the Bill Davis. The first two scenes of Bill Davis are not in the apartment.
Wow.
Oh. Okay.
First two scenes are not in the apartment.
But what about those last two scenes? Do they go back to the apartment they're, after?
It's the apartment,
colonnade
and
is
then
after
colonnade
that.
Is after the apartment.
Colonnade is the last one after the apartment.
So they go back.
That's
to
a. I remember actually when we were talking about the amount of scenes and
yeah,
everybody's
we
like,
always thought
that's got to
be a five-scener,
but it's not.
It's not.
Remember
it's
the five-sceners are in the first so many episodes.
Okay.
Because remember, then they started getting rid of the tags after that.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Now,
yeah.
So yeah, Bill Davis is four scenes and only one of them. Well, that's the other thing. Bill Davis is four scenes and three out of the four are not in the apartment.
So only one is in the apartment. That's a great find.
Lena, yeah,
that really is. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I have a twos theory that I
which
just
is,
thought.
Which is,
oh!
Yeah.
I have
stop
a twos theory.
Did you hear that?
Another twos theory. Are you ready?
Go.
The word atomic.
Oh,
atomic passion
ping pong.
And atomic ping pong.
Yep,
atomic two theory.
Wow,
you're welcome, Ron.
By the way, is Bill Davis? Now that I think about it, is Bill Davis the most amount of scenes out of the? Because you have three out of four scenes not in the apartment.
That's right. Right. He's at Madison Square Garden, the office, and at the colonnade.
And room. The colonnade room. Yeah, so there's only one
there's
scene
only one.
Out of the four.
Of four.
One scene
yeah.
in the apartment.
And he's yeah. in three of them.
Bill wow. Davis has. Terrorized the classic 30.
Yes, definitely. Yeah,
I love how right. we.
So
we
got,
I love how we call the episode.
One episode.
We call the episode Bill Davis.
I'll give you a hint on the other episode that has two in a row outside of the apartment, and it Mr. Marshall is your hint.
Let's start outside the apartment.
As a matter of fact,
safety, you, we're talking about it's all opportunity day. Knocks look, because they go from the front of Madison Square Garden to, because they don't go back to the house company. In right. front of the bus company. To his apartment. You don't go, you think they go from there, they go home, change, and then go, but you never see them home.
It's no. on the way back that the apartment comes in.
Then when they come back, right. That's, yep. So that's the two, or is there three now?
Well, the safety award is two in a row. Like you said, you're from the front of the apartment building to the mayor's
office. To the mayor's office. So that's the three.
I'm as confused as a baby raccoon.
So it's a man's pride.
Yep.
Safety Award opportunity knocks. But
those are the only three episodes that you have two scenes in a row that are not in the apartment.
Yep. Wow.
The apartment breaks up, always seems to break up.
Yeah, it's always a one-off. Like, one, and then back to the apartment, out of what part? Yeah, that's great. I love it. I absolutely love it. That's what I love about Michael Bruce. When Michael Bruce says he has trivia, it's like I'm on an acid trip. It's like I'm taking a drug that I've never taken before.
You know what you like about Michael Bruce? Everything.
Two's theory. Okay. He'll love this one.
Yes, sir.
Mail. Two episodes where they get mail.
Your taxes, worry wart, obviously.
And the letter from the mother-in-law. From the mother.
Mama.
That was in the mail?
Somebody?
No.
Oh, that's his messenger.
Letter. Oh no, that's his letter. That was a messenger. That was a what do you call it?
Messenger.
Is that what they call it?
Messengers. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. So I don't think that counts.
Kind of like what you do for a courier,
like a prehistoric Joe Conte.
Which is ironic because I'm pretty much prehistoric myself.
So yeah, the worry ward is
prehistoric.
So, there's also I'm thinking of the one when he goes, oh well, here's a postcard, but that's the worry ward, right?
Postcard?
Bills.
That's the worry wart.
That's worry wart.
The other one where he's
look
got mail.
Bills. I love that.
He's got
mail. Strictly talking
Norton's,
mail.
Norton's reference. The reference.
The deciding vote.
Yes.
Yep.
That's it. The reference.
The beginning of this whole segment.
Oh, because he was mailing something?
Next time, don't talk with your mouth full.
Am I in a cone of silence?
Dude, speak up. I didn't hear you. Speak up.
You got to listen. You asked the question. I answered it right away. 2 seconds.
Ron, one of the funniest things in comedy, TV comedy, is the cone of silence.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion.
Genius.
Absolute genius.
And Get Smart overall, underrated, I think. Yes. I think there's so much dense comedy in that.
Yes.
I'm sorry, but Buck Henry and Mel Brooks.
Yeah, how did you go wrong?
Yeah.
It's like Conti and Fats.
That's the other thing I think of.
Could you say Conti and Louis?
No,
I still have PTSD.
I'm sorry, Joe.
Conti and...
I could have said Fats Conti. That would have been worse.
I love this.
Conti and Louis.
You know. Minus Ron being here, this is fantastic.
Great.
You little.
We're talking about twos. This is fun.
Yeah, I called them a little. I didn't call them fat.
I got a twos. You want the twos?
Two Esquires. There's two Esquires.
We did this one already.
We did that one already? Okay.
I don't know.
A bunch of episodes ago.
Did we?
I
don't care.
Flowers and candy.
Flowers and candy. That's
Ed says va-va-va-va-voom.
Oh, and then they talk about...
And Audrey is reading Esquire when she's waiting for... when she's babysitting. Is that the other one?
But Esquire's a two or more, isn't
she's
it?
Not, she's
He's
not.
He's reading Esquire in the bed. She? I don't think so.
It's a two or more, isn't it?
I don't think so.
It's because they mention Esquire.
Esquire. But it's mentioned.
When I see it in Esquire magazine, just said whatever in one of the episodes.
Well, he was putting on his socks. Esquire magazine.
Yes.
The best dressed men. Yeah, that's another Esquire engine. Yeah.
Yeah.
So is that a two or more?
I think Norton's reading it in bed.
I think there are three.
The thing where he's flipping through in bed?
Yes.
With the sleepwalker?
With the bell on?
Esquire? Yeah.
Okay. I believe that's Esquire.
Yeah. We came up with there was three. We were surprised how many there were, actually.
Wow. All right, I got a good twos for you.
Oh, okay.
This is a kind of stretching twos.
Okay.
Frazee.
Jane, what about her?
Jane, yeah. Okay. What's the other?
Jane Frazee is mentioned twice?
No, but
I think I know.
Get you.
It's a Jane thing. It's Frazee and Jane and Jane Russell.
No.
No, it's when
it's Frazee is the this is a tough one. It doesn't come up in the thing. Actually,
in the roller skating episode?
No. I'll put it to you this way. She's a character. And it's her real name.
Oh. It is a stretch.
Is it the girl who plays
Wallace?
What's his face? His wife.
No.
Your wife.
No.
What's her face? That's not her real name.
No. It's not a Frizzy.
So it's Jane Frizzy.
Jane Frizzy from that. We just mentioned.
So now there's another character. So you're telling me there's a character on the show
whose last name is Frizzy.
I don't know who it is.
He's a beast. Trevor Frizzy is angry.
Really? God.
Wow.
And I looked it up to see Louis if they're Fats, related.
Ladies and gentlemen, Uncle Vinny.
Thank you. I'm here.
Are they opening for
Joe Conte? Yeah. That's beautiful. Who's opening
Dragging
for Vinny Vitello?
To my side. You hear this? Bring your own wine. It's next door. There's a store.
That's fantastic.
Good food.
Yeah. Are they related?
No, they're not. I looked it up. There were Frizzy sisters. Jane Frizzy and her sister were actresses.
Okay.
But this is Trevor Frizzy, not...
Wow.
Wow.
Not related.
See, That's awesome. This... That is from when he says Jane Frizzy. That's what episode?
Television, Rhythm on Ice.
Oh, but so that's the first one.
Yeah, that's it.
Just okay.
No, she just mentioned once Jane Frizzy.
Right, but I'm saying I thought maybe they mentioned her and they used her because they had What's Her Face on already.
No.
So, no. You know, like I was on my
homage. I know what you're saying, like an homage. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. No, no.
Wow. That's interesting. And listen, if her name was Smith, I wouldn't give you an ounce of credit. But it's Frizzy.
That's
all right. That's
beast Frizzy. You know the funny part about Salud? Gendani. No, it's so funny,
Joe. Natal.
I don't even think Jay Frizzy ice skated.
Like, yeah, I don't know. And didn't they say something about
Jay Frizzy can sure skate. Can skate.
Just a great line.
That's another thing. As he's mentioning those, as he's rattling off those names, it looks like he's making them up. Again, Gleason with the thing in front of him, but yet he's stalling because he's naming these people that are so non-related. Buddy Epsom and Frankie Darrow.
Right.
Jerry Colonna.
Do you think that's Gleason just sitting there so... cocky to say, yeah, I got these people here, but maybe I'll just come up with somebody else. It might sound like a funnier name. You know what I mean? You know how some names are funnier than others? Sounds are funny. I think that might be what he did.
I think too, Joe, that you're saying that these people are so unrelated that he's just naming them.
Why is Dominic the Donkey playing in the background? He's like an 11-year-old.
The ghost.
He's the most adorable 11-year-old ever.
The ghost of Lou Monti's in here.
That's Joe Conte. He's going to be an Uncle Vinny.
Joe.
What were we saying?
Conte.
Something. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
He just saved the dead air with that. That's like Joe and Conte.
Mike, that was like Mr.
That's Mr. Marshall.
That's why I did it. That's why I did it.
Marshall.
And then he tipped his hat.
Thank you. See you later.
That's exactly Mr.
Marshall. Marshall. Mr. Marshall.
That's so, oh my God.
That me is one of the underrated flubs.
Yes.
Dude. I mean, you got to put that behind.
Well, how about, again, all right, go ahead.
So you have to put that behind Mr. Gordon.
Oh.
Because Gordon is just you, I mean, you, him. He'll be, for 3 weeks, he'll be saying you, him.
And oh, here we go. We're going to do it again.
Michael versus.
Tell him to tell you.
Told me.
Tell him you.
Him you. He was into pronouns 70 years ago.
25
way ahead of us.
You know how you can leave somebody an audio message 25 times a day for 3 months. He told me to tell him.
Like back and forth.
Or he'd be like, "Oh, dude, I got to tell you about this." He told me to tell him.
You tell you.
Told me to tell him you.
I know we've discussed this, all right?
M-U is one word. H-I-M-Y-U.
We did this in the very beginning.
Yes.
But let's just do it with the four of us. Unfortunately, Steve's not here.
Yeah.
But top three flubs. I mean, it's obviously top hand dress pandra.
Top hand dress pandra.
Dude.
That's incredible.
Dip.
Oh, you like dip, dip, dip.
Oh, okay. I love cup dip.
Dip, 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 dip. Home. Sha-na-na, sha-na-na, ba-do. Sha-na-na, sha-na-na, ba-do. Sha-na-na, sha-na-na, ba-do.
Sha-na-na, sha-na-na, here we go.
Dip, 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 dip.
Applicant.
Applicant.
That's really good, actually. section.
Because that's what we, in the beginning, remember we did Flub versus Flub?
Yes, we did Flub versus Flub.
We did Flub versus Flub in the very beginning.
Comp Tip is amazing.
Yes.
Oh my God, the guy becomes a machine. He's a Comp Tip.
We use it. We use it. Think about it. We use that. We use top hand, dress, pan, draw for Flub of the Week.
Which we have here in the studio.
We have a top hand, dress, pan, draw.
And I don't know, earlier he went to get something out of the right side. I'm like, Lou, you're not going to find it.
There's nothing in there.
And it wasn't there. It was next to the handkerchief.
Listen, the nothing. You can look in Vienna. There's nothing in that top right hand draw.
Check my head. They'll find nothing in it. Giuseppe.
It's a great line. So I think.
What did you just say, Joe, before we're talking about
the top Flub?
Oh, top Flub.
I'm telling you, I think it's. Top hand, dress, pan, draw, applicant, and he, you, him, you, me. Yeah. I think those are the top three Flubs.
So I'm going to say that too.
Pepino the Mouse, right?
Of course. Favorite. I have that album. I have the album.
You malandre. I love you malandre.
Zuda Gil.
I wonder if there's a little troublesome lyric in there, what he said. A little troublesome today for the radio.
Say that.
I wonder if Ron brought like a little recorder when he was in third grade for his class. He just started playing
there's
some songs.
There's a twos theory developing on that. There's another line that Norton says where he goes like, it's a recorder. He says the same
in that same
sound.
It's a recorder.
Do you know you chucharil?
Would you pause that for a second?
Yes, please. Turn that off.
Keep going. Keep going.
Turn that off. I don't want to hear it.
Yes, it's a record.
Skumbari.
Skumbari.
Yeah, it's a Skumbari. He's being Skumbari right now. Come on, you Skumbari.
I know it.
Disgraziad. Oh, Svachim.
Where does he? Oh no! This isn't the Chipmunks, is
he's
it?
He's doing a Trixie. No, did you see it?
Yeah, I was doing Trixie.
Because I murder people when I hear the Chipmunks. I murder people when I hear the Chipmunks. I can't stand the Chipmunks.
I have the album. I have the Christmas album.
In fact, I don't like anybody named Alvin. That's how much I don't like the Chipmunks.
Yeah. I get mad at Theodore too.
I was afraid of the Ventures when I was the Ghost song. Right? I was very afraid of the Ghost song.
And, I heard that one, Michael Bruce.
The Ventures, yeah.
Oh, yes. Scrooge.
Yeah, I mean, the Ghost song, yeah, the Scrooge. That's what I called when I was a kid, the Ghost song.
It was very Ron Albanese with Michael Bruce right now.
All right, so Joe, the three, I agree with the top three.
I think.
Oh, yeah, and after hearing Mr. Marshall today, I've got to put that in number four.
You know what? I'm going to give you another one. But boys, I got to go with Faversham. Were you aware of that one? I never knew it before I watched the episode.
Well, medicine, a member of the lodge, and
how we can convince Ralph to become a member of the lodge. Can we play that?
No.
Let's play that.
You play that, Joe. You know what else you got to play?
Freddie
Muller.
He doesn't mess up the words.
Yeah, he does.
So it might slip by you.
Because it seems he flew into. He just continued.
And it also doesn't sound like something as an ad lib that sounds like Gleason as a guy in the 1950s would say. Or, you know what I mean?
Definitely.
Like a hip lingo thing, you know? Not a guy, a Brooklynese.
No Brooklynese in that at all.
Pepino wins.
What is this?
Doesn't he win, Pepino?
Stage, kind of? 31.
He tortures him.
Label those, will you, Joe?
What's that?
Label those, will you?
I know I have to. All right, here we go.
Norton, did you notice when he came in?
Look at my favorite fetch.
Would you go out and come?
But you're way beating you. But this is unreal.
Here we go.
This is an unreal flub.
Yeah.
You're wasting your time. Ralph is never going to change his mind about the lodge putting on a play.
Mrs. Crampton, I have every confidence that the lodge will make money. And in fact, I thought of a way of convincing Ralph not only of becoming part of the lodge and not only of
obeying
the play.
Becoming part of the lodge.
He's the treasurer. He's the treasurer.
He's going to convince him to join the lodge. He just volunteers to be the treasurer. He's not a member.
It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal.
Can we play it one more time?
It's phenomenal.
Let's just drink this in.
I love it.
Audience, listen to this.
You're wasting your time.
This is a top tenner. Thank you.
Ralph is never going to change his mind about the lodge putting on a play.
Mrs. Crampton, I have every confidence that the lodge will make money. And in fact, I thought of a way of convincing Ralph not only of becoming part of the lodge and not only of okaying the play.
What?
Of being in it.
What?
Yeah.
What, Struls?
It's unbelievable.
You, Struls?
That should have never been there. Nothing about that. What he was going to say is, not only can a guy convince him to do the play, I'll convince him to be in it.
He's all over the place.
That's and what he starts falling twice there. We said convincing, Lou?
Yes.
And no, you're Joe. That's Lou.
No, I'm here.
Every confidence.
One drink in the wine. That's
when he said, "I have every confidence."
Every confidence.
That is when he started.
Right. He's gone.
You know what happened? He was walking and he stepped on a rock and he rolled his ankle, but he was still standing. Yeah. And then he just tumbled.
Yeah.
It was. I have every confidence. Nobody says
but
I have
he slips
every confidence.
Twice. Listen to he. In other words, there's another one where he pauses after that.
I'll do what I can. Pardon.
Pardon. There we go.
I'm afraid you're wasting your time. Ralph is never going to change his mind about the Lodge putting on a play.
Mrs. Crampton, I have every confidence that the Lodge will make money. And in fact, I thought of a way of convincing Ralph not only of becoming...
Two.
Boom, right there. Not only... Now, if he would have just said, not only to approve the play,
right.
but I'll convince him to be
exactly.
in it too, he would have been fine, but he said, I'll convince him to be in the
Lodge.
So it's
like he's walking and he hits a rock and he's like, oh, I tripped over a rock. What was that?
And yeah.
So,
and then when he looked back, he fell.
Yes.
Let's get deeper into this. So it's Ralph's responsibility to say if this thing goes or doesn't go?
Yeah, isn't that weird? Because he's
so where does Freddie Mullin come into this?
It's amazing.
Freddie Muller's the chairman of the Entertainment Committee. Are you kidding me?
But I guess everything has to go through Ralph because he's the treasurer?
The money?
And the money part of it?
Listen, okay.
The guy
do the
who can't get everybody to pay their
Raccoon,
dues.
Raccoon, what is he? Grand Mystic High Exalted Ruler.
Yeah.
Okay. Then under him would be Ralph. Would be
well,
number
you got
two.
Grand High Exalted Mars Fink. Well, then you got Mr. President. And then you got Ralph as
well. Fink oversees all of them.
He's probably in charge of Bayonne and everything, too.
All the locations
Fink is.
Yes. Okay.
That's why it was such a big deal.
That's the hierarchy of. Oh, also in the Lost episodes, in the Lodge, Noble Order of Raccoons.
Yes.
The Noble Order of Raccoons.
I remember.
Not royal, not loyal, not fraternal order.
Noble
Order of Raccoons, it says on the thing. So getting back
to the hierarchy, it's Grand Exalted.
Yes, Morris
he's
Fink.
Like nationwide.
Yes.
Okay.
And he works in the sword.
He works next to Ralph Norris. Might be a continuity problem.
Worst thing they could have ever done.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But they really stripped him of his dignity.
What are you doing?
Like, just for a cheap joke.
Yeah.
They did that just for a cheap joke.
No, I don't believe that.
Yeah, Joe.
I believe that is a subliminal way of saying why Norton won because he's his coworker. Think about it. You're overthinking it.
I'm going to disagree with Giuseppe. I'm going to say that this shows how insignificant the raccoons are.
Right, yeah. That The guy who works in the sewers, the audience flips out and everything.
Yes. We're saying this guy's super amazing.
Right, when he walks in.
And yet he's in a slimy, dirty, dark sewer.
Yeah.
That's how he makes his money.
Working next to the ugliest woman you ever saw.
You know what else makes this Faversham fluff
carving
so
his initials
amazing?
Into a shovel.
Is the fact that he's a character who's supposed to be so well-spoken and sophisticated.
Right.
Yes.
And I'm above everybody, and he's flubbing all over the place. Yes. That's what makes it even better.
Yeah. It is great.
You know what I mean?
Great.
It's like, it's almost like in real life,
he's a snob,
you root
and he's
for that.
Yeah.
That's a guy you would root to lose. Yeah. You would be like
Ralph flubbing, it makes sense, but not Faversham.
Right,
like, you know,
exactly.
This room is perfect echo for
car. Great echo down here, yeah.
It's great. Did the three of you ever, I have to bring this up before I forget, did the three of you ever notice in the episode with the pins and needles and they're going to do the rent increase? When Johnson comes in, I laughed out loud because I've never noticed it before until the other day. Also, Norton quickly goes by like this. He calls him Johnny Boy.
Johnny Boy.
Holy cow.
Funny. Calls him Johnny Boy.
Johnny Boy. It's so funny.
So we got a Johnny Boy and two Billy Boys.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And I think that's Art Carney. I think that's Art Carney delving into the Ed Norton character about being playful. You know what I mean? Like, think about it. That's your landlord.
He's trying to be playful with him. And,
right,
you know,
but also kind of almost
and
like...
kind of like knocking this guy off his pedestal a little bit. Like Johnny Boy. A
little bit.
Yeah.
Just letting him know.
He loves Johnny Boy.
He calls him Johnny Boy. Isn't that great? And his name is Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Johnson. What's it?
Unless his name was John Johnny. Johnson.
John Johnson.
It's just freaking great.
ABC News.
Ugh. What was the thing that I wanted to do with you guys? Wasn't there one other than be? Oh, we want to do a. You could say that again.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You want to do the what?
Yeah. Do it. Yeah.
All right. I'll get the clip for it. Hopefully you guys can hear it over whatever John.
The Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons Christmas awesome. Album.
That's fantastic. Okay. That's the best. That is fantastic.
Speaking of odd Norton here lines. Here we go. I'll tell you. Go ahead.
Okay.
Oh, she's got a nerve. She knew when she married you, she was getting the worst of it. She can say that again.
The Honeymooners podcast proudly presents.
You can say that again. You can say that again.
In this bit, Joe and Louie highlight one of the fabulous Facebook posts and read some of the hysterical comments from you, the loyal podcast listeners and members of our Facebook page.
You can say that again.
That's right. You, the always witty members of the Honeymooners podcast Facebook page, are the stars of this segment because...
You can say that again.
So, whose voice is that?
That's Steve Franchi.
Oh, that's Franchi.
Yeah, of course. Well, it's the great familiar. Steve Franchi.
His voice sounds mighty familiar.
Yep. All right.
Grams
so,
his delicious mystery appetite. His initials are on football helmets.
Okay. So this was Mark Strouch put a picture up when, and if you guys see the picture, this is when Wallace was in the room with them.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
But he put Elvis in there, right? Instead of Wallace.
Right.
Yep.
And it says, when Judy dumped Wallace and had her next boyfriend meet her in the Cramden apartment. Now, I have to just say this right off the bat. There were a ton of comments, like 120-something comments. Mm-hmm. And I would say 40% of them were people who were calling this out, that it was fake. This was AI.
Oh, that's right.
Elvis was not really on there. And I'm like, are you people kidding me?
Really?
I'm like they were like detectives. And listen, if you're one of those people, don't listen to this podcast. You have no idea what humor's about. It was one of those, they were trying to get us like, we got you.
Yeah, we got
this
you.
Is fake.
Yeah.
Like, really? You thought Mark Strouch was trying to fool you by saying Elvis was in the Honeymooners
Tricky
in 1950?
Mark.
All right, listen up.
Tricky Mark.
This is Ron Albanese talking.
Yes.
Elvis Presley was not on the Honeymooners.
Frank
Sinatra was, but Elvis was not.
But Sinatra in and out.
Come at me.
No. He was in Soupy Sales. He's mixing him up with Soupy Sales.
Soupy Sales was on the Honeymooners. He was in the color episode.
We got a few of these, all right? And some people put some funny comments. Frank D. Cal, a man's home is his castle, and in that castle, he is King Creole. That's a good line. That's funny.
There you go. Okay. King Creole was probably Elvis's best role. Movie. He acted like James Dean.
Yeah.
He was doing a James Dean, but he was good. But I like, Blue Hawaii and stuff like that.
He actually was a good actor.
He could act. Yeah, absolutely. He was comfortable in front of a camera, and I think that's what it was.
Yeah, listen, if you look like that, you're probably comfortable in front of a camera.
That's why we do podcasts.
Aunt Marie said she looked like he was dipped in olive oil. That's what she said. She went to see him in Vegas. Aunt Marie Albanese. When he did Vegas, like the first time in the late 60s, looked like he was dipped in olive oil.
I couldn't save my career. CJ Jackson, what do you mean hound dog? This ain't no animal shelter.
That's good. That's good.
I like that one.
Bennett Silverstein and Ralph said Junie Connors dumped Wallace for this guy. He ain't nothing but a hound dog. Very good. Diane Markle, he knocked all of the dishes off of the table, everything, LOL. It was very funny. Marvin Shaw, Elvis isn't there doing the mamba. Danielle and Taylor, dancing to the Crazy House Rock.
There you go.
Bobby McLeod.
he owns the tuxedo place.
Does he own the tuxedo
McLeod's. Place?
This is funny.
Tomorrow, get it back to McLeod's.
You can do anything you want, but don't you step on my vulcanized boots.
Yes.
It's a great line. TT Gina, Ralph was like, oh no, if she was my daughter, he'd be going to the party at the county jail. Tom Rogers, I know Norton was all shook up. Guy Winsby, get a load of this guy. He's no Basil Fomine. Guy Winsby, rocking, rolling. My grandmother never did any rocking, rolling. Larry Gata, Gajda Cohen, Judy and Elvis just left the building. There was some, these guys were good. Yeah. I think there might have been one or two more. I'm trying to see. Oh, yeah, yeah. Mark Schmidt. Listen up, cats. I'm here looking for Carlos. He stole my hip movements.
Carlos.
I love Carlos.
You ever just say that to yourself? Yeah, like, I've said Carlos.
Carlos. All the time. Yeah, every time I talk to Steve, I'm like, hey, how's Carlos? How's Carlos doing? One of these days, Elvis, I think Junior just left the building. Yeah, I think that's what we got. But they were good. So keep putting those funny comments out, you know? I mean, there's another one that I'm going to get him. That there was some really, really good ones. We'll do them for next episode. But it's good. Nice. All right. Do we want to...
Can I ask you about this Norton line?
You know what?
I'm thinking, the hospital?
Why don't we do this? Hold on. Hold on.
It's before he lights the cigarette.
I want to break this
off. Odd line.
We're at 1 hour. I want to break this off right now. Yeah. We'll take a break.
Okay.
And then we'll do the second part.
All right. Cool.
All right.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah. We'll take like a 5 minute breather. And then we'll come back with the...
How was I in that episode?
You were fantastic.
I love that.
Yeah, yeah. You were good too.
How was that?
How was my acting?
I was so caught up in the salami sandwich.
Everybody was great.
All right. So we'll take a break, and then you guys can listen to part two. We'll be back whenever you decide to play the second part.
How about tomorrow
night? This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.